How does Iran respond to its rapprochement with the UN and the West on its nuclear programme? The hope in the countries which went through years of negotiation to get there is that despite the tangled politics of the Middle East, with the power struggle between Iran and Saudi Arabia at its heart, it will open an era of progress. Skeptics, led of course by a fiercely critical Israel, say the opposite, that Iran will exploit the deal for its own purposes. First of all, what's the mood in Tehran? For the first time for 6 years, a BBC correspondent has been allowed to spend some time in Iran. Our correspondent Kim Hattas has been there for the last week. She's been speaking, among other people, to one of Iran's vice presidents. And in a few minutes, we'll hear from one of the most seasoned American diplomats who's watched Iran for decades. First to Kim in Tehran.
We've been driving from the top of Tehran down the plain towards the south of the city. We haven't seen much residential buildings yet, but a lot of parks, a lot of green. And we're moving from the cooler part of the city, which is close to the hills, and we're driving down into the heat further south. It's very well developed, a large urban sprawl with highways. Despite years of sanctions and bad relations with the outside world, particularly with the West, this is not a city that looks dilapidated or derelict and looks quite modern, in fact. This is an ice cream parlor on a busy street in Tehran in the evening. What do we have? But I think I'm going to have one of that
saffron
ice cream. Yeah, because that's the traditional.
That's the traditional.
The crowd here is quite young. Couples holding hands, families, girls on a night out, all veiled, of course, but many clearly trying to push the boundaries. You can see a lot of hair showing, and blonde streaks seem particularly popular. Now, 60% of Iranians are under 30, and they're very eager to connect with the world.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Kim. Aida.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. It's a beautiful city. Are you from Tehran?
Yes.
But I'm not living here. I'm living in San Diego.
My holiday.
For summer, I come here, and after that, I'm living here.
So you're on both sides of the Atlantic, between America and Iran.
Yes.
Are you hopeful for the future of Iran?
Yes.
You know, now there's an agreement with America and the world powers.
Yeah, I'm hopeful.
And maybe the sanctions will be lifted.
I hope. Yeah. For now, it's not really good. It's a little hard for young people because they can't find a good job. You know, I hope. It's gonna be better.
You think the two countries, the one that you're from and the one that you're living in, are going to be friends again?
I think, yeah, why not?
Why not?
There's been more than three decades of enmity between Iran and the US and the West in general, since the revolution in 1979 and the American hostage crisis that same year. I asked one man what kind of change the nuclear agreement could bring to his country.
There probably will be economic changes, but we need to wait and see what will evolve out of these negotiations. All sides talk the talk, but they need to walk the walk. The slogan, "Death to America," is not directed against its people and nation. It's directed against the American Zionist attitude. If one day the Americans genuinely drop this Zionist view, we'll not say death to them anymore. As long as they have Zionist bearings, we'll say death to America.
We've just arrived at the offices of Masumeh Ebtekar, one of Iran's vice presidents. They have several, actually, including four women. And she's in the reformer camp today with President Hassan Rouhani, but she first became famous as a revolutionary radical in 1979 when she was the spokesperson of the students holding the American hostages at the U.S. embassy. Now, that 444-day-long crisis caused lasting damage to Iran's relationship with the West.
Then Iran's nuclear program brought further sanctions on the country. But being a moderate in Iran is also a relative term. Most officials here express clear support for Syria's President Bashar al-Assad and Lebanon's militant group Hezbollah, which has been fighting in support of Assad's forces. But let's go inside and speak to Masumeh Ebtekar. The money you're going to get from sanctions relief is your money. But how are you going to use it?
I think it's quite clear. We have our national objectives. We have our six-five-year development plan now underway. But of course, defense issues are also very important for us.
So you're not going to send any money to President Assad?
We need to defend ourselves. There's no question to that. We're living in an area where we have about maybe over 100 American bases, military bases in the region.
But you've just signed a deal with America.
Well, the bases are still there. The current volatile conditions that we have, a lot of extremism and radicalism is on the rise in the region. So Iran has to defend itself for many different reasons.
On the walls of the interview room, there were portraits of the leader of the revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini, and of the current supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. These portraits hang everywhere, in offices, hotel lobbies, the Tehran Stock Exchange, even in shops and the bazaar. We're at Tadrij Market, a beautiful, covered, small bazaar with a lot of fresh fruit on offer, vegetables, beautiful mound of blackberries. It's crowded with women shopping, men at the stalls. There's a palpable sense of anticipation here on the streets of Tehran, and some uncertainty. Will the nuclear agreement hold? And when will the sanctions be lifted? The critics of the deal are many. The mistrust on all sides runs deep. But for millions of Iranians, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to alter the course of history of their country, and they hope it will be for the better.
Kim Hattas in Tehran, where she still is.